I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit MemoriaPress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
We don't treat religion like a subject that we think influences the news and what influences what happens in the world.
The God of Islam wants us to die for him. Jesus died for us.
A conscience that's bound to anything other than God's word is enslaved to idolatry.
When we do our own thing as a congregation, ignoring history, ignoring the divine liturgy's history and so forth, we have, in a sense, become an island unto itself.
Topics you can really sink your teeth into. That's why Iowa dentists love Issues Etc.
I don't know. If I were Planned Parenthood and their allies in the media and their legal allies, it appears they have many, I would want this story to go away. I wouldn't want to keep reminding people that there are almost a dozen undercover videos out there, readily accessible on the internet, of interviews of various Planned Parenthood employees and leaders talking about the sale of aborted baby body parts. I wouldn't want that story to stay on anyone's attention or radar any longer than it has to. And yet, contrary to what seems like common sense, if you wanted the story to go away, Planned Parenthood and its legal allies continue to keep it in the news, insofar as it's being covered in the news. 15 felony charges filed against the producers of the undercover Planned Parenthood videos in California, and it's not the first time that that has happened. Molly Hemingway will join us to talk about it during this hour of Issues Etc. Welcome back. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Molly, we will talk with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute about the fantasy ideologies of the lifestyle left and the Church of Feminism with Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist. Feel free to join us with your questions or comments, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the 15 felony charges filed against the producers of the undercover Planned Parenthood videos, Molly Hemingway, a regular guest. She's a Fox contributor. She's senior editor of The Federalist and author of the recent column titled California Wants to Imprison Pro-Lifers for Committing Journalism. Molly, welcome back.
It's great to be here with you.
This isn't the first time that David DeLayden and company have faced charges. What happened the first time someone tried this?
Right. Just to revisit the topic, it was nearly 2 years ago when the Center for Medical Progress began releasing videos showing that top officials with Planned Parenthood and other abortion-related groups were openly discussing the harvesting and trade of unborn baby parts. And even though this is something that has been going on for quite some time, this has not been well covered by the media, and so his videos were the first in a long time to show the country what was going on with this trade, how extensive it was, who was participating in it, and what the, you know, what happened in this trade, how they tried to deliver full bodies, because those are more valuable than the individual body parts that might be able to be procured from an abortion where you tear up the baby as you bring her out. So this was huge news, and Planned Parenthood and other abortion groups immediately started trying to file charges and other legal action against the group. The first time that charges were made against them came from a Houston district attorney who tried to charge DeLayden and one of his fellow journalists with problems associated with how they had done their journalism, namely because they had pretended that they were buying fetal body parts, they charged them with trying to buy fetal body parts. And they also, because they used fake IDs as part of their process, they charged them with fake IDs. Now, both of those charges were dropped. One was thrown out by a judge and one was dropped by the prosecutor. There were also all sorts of other problems where it turned out that the prosecutors, that the DA's office had worked with Planned Parenthood, had inappropriately shared information with Planned Parenthood. And the end result then, not just that the charges were thrown out, but the DA was thrown out of office just last November. But, of course, the media coverage on the initial charges is always pretty strong. When the people are cleared or the charges are dropped, then it's not so strong.
What about these California charges? What do they consist of?
Yeah, it's actually interesting. I would have thought that they actually could have done a better job of finding something to get on Dalyden and one of his fellow journalists. All 15 charges are the same charge, which is that when Dalyden or his partner videotaped conversations they had with people in public, that there was an expectation of privacy that made these public conversations, in essence, not public. I think this will be a very difficult case for the California Attorney General to make. As anybody who watched the videos knows, these conversations were clearly done in restaurants, at conferences. There are people milling around. There are waitresses coming in. The idea that this is a confidential conversation, I think, is a legal standard that they will have a hard time meeting. And, in fact, Cecile Richards herself, who is the CEO of Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion corporation in the country, when she testified in front of Congress, she herself acknowledged that these were non-confidential conversations. And that's one of the things she said she opposed about Deborah Nakatola, the one who talked about crunching above the liver, below the liver. She said that she thought it was inappropriate to have that conversation in public. So if the CEO of Planned Parenthood herself is admitting that these are public conversations, I think the Attorney General will have a very difficult time here.
Well, in fact, David Dalyden has tweeted this morning making reference to Cecile Richards there under oath and saying, we call her as the first witness. It's that simple.
Yeah, she would make an excellent first witness for this. But it's really speaking to something much more troubling. I mean, there are many things troubling about this. This is a politically motivated prosecution. It was initiated by Kamala Harris, who's currently the U.S. Senator from California, and now a longtime proponent of Planned Parenthood. She receives a lot of funds, campaign donations from Planned Parenthood, as does the man who took her place as Attorney General. The levels of corruption involving Planned Parenthood are so serious that Kamala Harris and Planned Parenthood actually worked together to draft legislation that was signed into law that punishes journalists who record conversations with abortionists with a year in prison. That happened in California, I think, last year that Jerry Brown signed that into law. So this is just basically Planned Parenthood getting free rein in the California judicial system to do what it wants to go after people who exposed their participation in the fetal organ harvesting trade.
Molly, is this risky business for both Planned Parenthood and for a complicit press? And let me ask it this way. Planned Parenthood doesn't want people seeing or even knowing about Dalyden's undercover work and what is revealed so absolutely clearly there. And the press doesn't seem to want people to know about it either. But if you're going to talk about him being charged for making these videos, you're going to have to talk about the fact that these videos and what they contain exists.
Well, yes. On the one hand, yes, you do have to admit, well, these videos really did take place and people really were recorded. And these are not actors saying these horrifying things about what they're doing to babies and how they're selling these parts and why and how much they can get for them and whether they can get a Lamborghini and whatnot. You have to admit that they're real when you charge them for having taken place. So that's true. At the same time, one of the most interesting things about Planned Parenthood is that they immediately set about pushing a narrative that's entirely false, that these videos were doctored. And a lot of people believe the videos were doctored, and that's been discredited by forensic auditing firms. In fact, Dalyden and Center for Medical Progress released the full unedited videos with each of the edited videos that they put out. You know, they put out like a 3-minute video, and then they'd also put out the 2-hour video of everything so you could listen in context to what people were saying. That's a journalistic practice that far exceeds what most journalists do. I mean, when you watch the nightly news, they have a 2-minute segment that might use hours of footage. They never show you the full footage. They only show you the carefully snippeted quote from the congressman or the person they're interviewing. So Dalyden's journalistic standards are actually far exceeding the very journalists who are claiming that he chopped up these videos or whatnot. So that narrative has worked, and I think people want to believe it's not real. So even when Planned Parenthood admits that they were doing this because they said they would stop doing it, that's a full admission that if you say you're going to stop doing something, you're no longer going to take money for body parts, that means that you were taking money for body parts. And they said that in a letter to Congress. You know, they testified in front of Congress. But people don't want to deal with the full reality of that, I don't think.
What does it tell you about the press that they, I saw this all over the place when the AP ran it as a breaking story this morning. They didn't run the fact that the videos were being released one a month over the course of a year as any breaking kind of story.
Right. In fact, they had to be kind of pressured into covering the videos themselves. And when they would cover it, they would do it grudgingly. They would always prominently place what Planned Parenthood said about these videos. In this case, there are serious journalistic problems with punishing journalists for doing their jobs. And yesterday, at the White House, you had Donald Trump's press secretary, Sean Spicer, tell a reporter not to shake her head at him. And every journalist in the country was aghast at this treatment, this rudeness that you would dare tell a reporter not to shake her head in the briefing room. And if that's bad, I would think putting people in prison for a year for doing journalism might be something we could all agree is worse. And nobody's writing about these dangers of these chilling effects, this idea that public conversations that you have in public, literally at restaurants, literally at business conferences. I'm not exaggerating. That's actually where those conversations took place. The idea that the California government would be trying to claim that those are conversations with an expectation of privacy and that therefore Dlyden and his cohort violated privacy rights. I mean, that's something that journalists should care about if they claim they're so worried about authoritarianism and cracking down on the press. Well, here's something where it's actually happening, and they could have every means to condemn an overreaching authoritarian government, and instead they're running breaking news about how great it is that these charges have been filed. I mean, that's scandalous.
So the term legal harassment comes to mind for me, because while I'm certain that Planned Parenthood and the authorities there in California would love to see David Dlyden and Sandra Merritt spend some years in prison, I'm sure they'd love it. I think their ultimate goal is what you just mentioned, Molly, and that is to keep anyone from ever thinking about doing what David Dlyden and Sandra Merritt did. What are your thoughts?
It's absolutely true. I think that anybody who's being honest with themselves would look at the indictment and say, this is silly, and I don't think they're going to have a very successful case here. I mean, again, I just said I'm surprised they couldn't find better things to charge them with, since there, you know, there are all these shady issues that people might have legitimate disagreement about. So the battle, the fact that you have to spend so much money on a legal defense, one of the things that Kamala Harris did was seize all of the video evidence that Dlyden had from his home, including videos that had not yet come out. I mean, that was part of, I think, what was actually going on here, is NARAL and Planned Parenthood knew that worse things were coming, and they were really desperate to get these things from being aired. But this is something that people should be concerned about, and they should work to defend the rights of all journalists, whether they agree with them politically or not.
In fact, your colleague there at The Federalist, Bree Payton, has just reported that there's another undercover Planned Parenthood video that's been released today. What can you tell us about it?
You know what? I actually haven't seen that one yet, so I can't tell you about it. But yes, it was interesting that the response of Dlyden was to, you know, here he is charged with 15 counts yesterday, and he puts out another video today. And it apparently shows people talking about how to try and get the full baby born with the body intact, because that's more valuable, and how sometimes babies are born alive, and how it is technically you're supposed to report that to the hospital. So at that point, you have to be very careful about who is in the room. The subtext suggesting that you can let the baby die if you can trust the people that you're in the room with. I mean, these are, again, very scandalous things that people can watch themselves. I try and prepare myself before I watch them, so I haven't seen it yet, but this is sick stuff.
And I just want to put a fine point on this, Molly, because what happened immediately after these videos became evident in the public was that Planned Parenthood started figuring out where Dlyden and Merritt had been and met with people, and they started putting two and two together. They know exactly what's in these videos, don't they?
I think they do know exactly what's in the videos, and that's why they are so scared. It's also interesting to note that Dlyden released these knowing that this might happen. And one of the things that makes him such a hero to people is how he has released these and been steadfast. And with all the bullying, with all the indictments, with all of the, not just the largest abortion corporation in the country, but the entire abortion business and all of their allies in the media. And that's everybody at every major media installation, New York Times, you know, Washington Post, and all the big networks, they're all allied against him, and yet he still keeps walking one foot ahead of the other, still releasing this information. I think that he is more than prepared to go to jail if he needs to for getting this information out. It's just that this California indictment will not be the thing that sends him to jail because it's so silly.
Molly Hemingway is a Fox News contributor, senior editor of The Federalist, and author of a recent column titled California Wants to Imprison Pro-Lifers for Committing Journalism. You can read her columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. And you can follow Molly on Twitter, MZ Hemingway, at MZ Hemingway. Molly, thank you and congratulations on signing with Fox News.
Thank you.
When we come back, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is going to join us. We'll be talking with her about the fantasy ideologies of the lifestyle left that include the sexual revolution and moral relativism. Stay tuned.
Emily Post recommends polite conversation on topics like the weather, but the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's magazine, The Lutheran Witness, is no Emily Post. Go to cph.org/try-Lutheran-witness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 issues and receive the March issue covering controversial topics like climate change, overpopulation, and the intersection of science and theology. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/try-Lutheran-witness.
The world may tell us that Easter is about eggs and chocolate bunnies, but we Christians know that there would be no Easter without Jesus' death and resurrection. Emmanuel Press has just released an Easter card with beautiful artwork that confesses Christ's victory over death and his redemption of mankind. You can find this card and others at emmanuelpress.us, emmanuelpress.us.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Things when I hear on the radio tonight about Obama being a Christian but not being good because of his pro-choice and homosexuality stances.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Yet I see no evidence of any literature that in the Bible that you stated that says that these things are against biblical teachings.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.